Blog Talk Radio.
I wish I had an angel for one moment of love. I wish I had your angel tonight.
About last week, but you know, I had my stuff, so
It's all good. It's fine. I was having phone problems anyways. My phone was dropping. I'm consistently having problems with my cell phone dropping calls, so it was partially our fault too. So.
Yeah.
Who wants technology? Who gives a shit about technology?
Yeah, Brittany, while you were relaxing and sipping margaritas and stuff, Dennis and I were trying to figure out this cluster.
I didn't even get to have margarita. No. My mother can't drink. She's a diabetic, so that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, no, what? And, John, I appreciate you sticking as long as you could. I was watching it, and I was seeing people calling into the board. But, Brittany, I don't know if you noticed that the call-in number had changed last week.
Yes. It doesn't look the same, if that's what you mean.
No.
There's a sequence of numbers that are different.
Yes.
Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, it was a 213 area code call-in before, and now it changed to 646. And when I would call that number, it would say that this is not the number that's linked to your account. And it took me about a half hour to actually get all that figured out because... And then I called the old number, and then it did launch. It was a cluster. So, John, I do apologize about last week.
No, I totally understand. It's totally fine. Like I said, I had some problems where I was dropping a call anyway. I'm still having problems dropping calls, so that's another whole story.
And why is that? Because you dropped your phone in alcohol? Yes.
No, not. I wish I could say it was something like that. It's just Sprint not doing what they need to do.
Welcome to my world. No, really. I'm just glad that I'm here now and I get to talk to you both. And I haven't talked to you for a really long time, John. So,
yes, it's been a while.
So what have you been up to?
A lot. The book's out. We have our book that came out now. It came out Halloween night in October. So that's doing very, very well. And a lot of events coming up. It was just constantly busy working on my new presentation for the lectures when I do my lecture. And it's looking really, really good. So I'm excited for the first group of people, which will be phenomenology in Gettysburg that'll get to see it. And actually, I think you're going to be at an event with me. Are you going to the event in Pennsylvania at the casino?
Yeah, Terrorfest.
Yes. So
I
will see you there, and you'll get to see the lecture at that point.
I am planning on doing a lecture myself, so
nice.
Will you come to my lecture?
Oh, absolutely. Why wouldn't
I? All right. Because maybe you're doing a lecture at the same time. That would be kind of conflicting schedules.
Well, yeah, I could see if that was the case, but I'll make sure, you know, that we don't have that problem, so I can definitely come in.
Good, because I'm really excited. I love sitting down and learning about things that I like instead of, you know, going to school, which is something I quite hate, actually. But I do love going to lectures and, you know, Q&A sessions and kind of getting to know the subject matter. And I think mine will be more on paganism and that influences on... like the paranormal. So it'll be a little bit different than just paranormal, I guess.
Very nice.
Not
a scientific.
Yeah, it'll be fun. That's in September, too. So anyone that wants to go pick up their tickets, I'm going to do a little plug right now. It's parafest2013.com. And tickets are pretty good. I think they're in the 40s, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's what it is for the whole weekend.
That's great.
Not for a day, for the whole weekend.
Holy bejesus.
Yeah. By the way, I was talking to Sarah about it, and Brittany, I think I mentioned it to you that I think I might be heading myself that way around that time. Speaking of which, and as long as we're plugging, I was going out there to see, and I was talking to a great, great friend of mine, Jim Crutt, who was... he was the helicopter zombie from the original Dawn of the Dead, and Jim, I plugged this to him, but he's busy, but he's going to listen and archive. I'm actually wearing his shirt. I've been wearing it all day. He sent me one. So I got Jim the helicopter zombie on my chest right now. But,
that's That's awesome. Like,
yeah,
dude,
no,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I told them I'd be heading out that way. I'm going to try and make it for that as long as some catastrophe doesn't happen and I can't. But I got family out that way and everything. So hopefully I can make it there. And actually, I'll send dates. I got to look it up again. But the Chicago Paracon, it's the fifth one that's been an official established one, is happening not long after that. So got Josh Gates, got, you know, basically everybody from TV, dear friend Ursula Bielski, Willie Atkins, like everybody from around here is doing that one. So
now, where is that?
What was that?
Where is that, Matt?
Oh, in Chicago.
When is it?
I have to look up the exact dates again. That off the top of my head, I'm not sure. So,
I haven't even heard of that one.
Yeah, well, this is the fifth year that it's been official.
Hmm.
So, they've been doing it, and we've had, you know, good friends like you know, Jeff Mudgett did last year. Willie Atkins does a lot throughout the year. Ursula Bielski. Dane Ladwig, who's an author, Carl Coachman, who runs the Path to Bachelor's Grove, which is the Bachelor's Grove Cemetery Restoration Project. Just a lot of stuff, but yeah, give me a couple minutes and I'll actually get the whole ledger and the date for you.
Nice.
Cool. And there's also
Still open to present.
Wait, who is there? Positions still open to present? Did you just say?
I believe that there is.
Hmm. Well, if my flight was covered, then sure. You know, I live in Florida. We don't really get, like, the best events to go to down here.
We might have to talk later, Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I feel so left out compared to all you, like, up northern people. I don't even know what you call your up northern people. Your northerners?
Northerners.
That works. I can't help it.
Yankees also flies.
Okay, Yankees.
Yeah, that flies too. Yeah, that works. I'm going to be down your way doing an event. Well, not too far from you. We're going to be in September, I believe. We're going to be at the St. Augustine White House with Chris Williams and Amy Bruni. And then also in July, I'm going to be at, it's with Joe Chin and Adam Berry at the Sloss Furnace.
Oh, interesting. I would say yes to the second one, no to the first, because somebody, one of those people, may or may not, this is just, you know, suspicion, may not like me. So I'm going to avoid that one. for whatever reason, they just don't like me. I don't know what it is. I don't care. Maybe I'm too edgy. I don't care. But the other one sounds great. I know Joe Chin's a lot of fun. Jody's like buddy-buddy with him.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He comes over, helps Vinny from my group, owns a screen print company, and he comes over and he'll help Vinny do screen printing during the day and hang out and just shoot the shit with us. And cool guy, very good guy, very nice guy, down to earth.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, I know that they get way too much fun. And actually, there is MegaCon coming up pretty soon in Orlando. For anyone that's interested, I believe the dates are March 18th. I might have to check that again, but I believe it's March 18th. And I think it's about 2 or 3 days. It's a weekend, that's for sure. And it is, in other words, you know, very kind, but, you know, not too kind words. It's a geek convention. Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, there's actually some paranormal people that are going to be there, as well as, let's see. I know that Scott Tepperman's going to go, and I did an event with him a couple of months ago. I think it was in July, and then I also think that Paul Bradford will be there as well. So I think that there's two paranormal guests that are going, which is in Orlando, if anyone's local. It's a geek convention, so be prepared for the geeks. I will be one of them. There is also a party on Saturday, so if you don't want to go to the convention, go to the rave. I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. So that's going to be good. I'm excited for that. And I think tickets are pretty good. They're about $25 for Saturday, at least. Yes, for one day, $25. And for 3 days, it's only $58. So you really can't beat that. It's going to be a great fun. It's really cheap. I can't believe how cheap conventions are actually getting. Usually they're really expensive, but they've been making them so easy to access lately.
I think the bigger conventions, like, you know, the ones like ScareFest, Comic-Con, DragonCon, you know, the ParaFest, those there, they get so many people to those conventions. They can afford to, you know, drop the price to $20, $40, $50 a person for a whole weekend pass. Because you're talking, I mean, ScareFest last year, 18,000 people. DragonCon last year, 55,000 people last year.
Holy shit.
At DragonCon. So, I mean, it's huge. Not one day at DragonCon I did two lectures per day. Well, one lecture, one Q&A panel, and each day, and not one of them had less than 100 people in the room. So it's like, it's just amazing that when you get that kind of a number, you can drop it. But then when you do, you know, some of these private events, like, for instance, the Sloss Furnace with me, Adam, and Joe, you know, they're only opening it up to 100 tickets. So, and you know as well as I do, you've got to cover the cost of the rental of the place. You've got to cover the cost of us three being able to fly there, our hotel, a rental car, our fee to be there, things like that. So, you know, that's why that's why the price is like $200 a ticket. But you're also getting that time to be in a group of 15 or 16 and spend time with us privately too. So
it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's a lot more personal versus, you know, 50,000 people and you're fighting to get in line to see somebody.
Yeah, and not to mention those lines are about 3 hours long. So
you know what amazed me was at DragonCon last year. I watched, now I'm a big fan of hers, but Sully from X-Files.
Yes.
She was there. And I never knew who her husband was. I never put two and two together. She was with her husband. Her husband is actually the guy MacGyver from the TV show.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Such a good show.
I loved it when I was a kid. But I never knew that was her husband.
Yeah.
When I got there, I saw on the pamphlet that she was going to be there. So I wanted to go over and meet her. So I get in line to meet her. And that's when that guy, Mark, which is her husband, I didn't know, walked by. And he went in the same booth area where she was. And I said, why is MacGyver here? And somebody behind me said, oh, that's Gillian Anderson's husband. I was shocked. I had no idea. So I ended up getting to meet both of them. But their line was almost 5 hours long to get to take a picture, sign an autograph, and then boot it out of line.
Yeah, they do it pretty quickly, too. And it's about probably like $70 a pop for an autograph, or I think pictures are about $30.
For Jillian, it was a picture with your phone was $20. If you wanted an 8x10, it was $40. And then if you wanted a picture of them together, it was on your cell phone, it was $35. And then for them to sign a picture, an 8x10 together, it was $75.
But you couldn't take a picture with like a normal camera? They just need your crappy cell phone to take a picture with?
You could, or a regular camera. Yeah, you didn't have to have a cell phone. But if they
they really got stingy with them rules.
Yeah, no, you could have like a camera with you too, but I'm just saying with a camera phone because a lot of people were doing that. But the problem was, if they caught you in line taking a picture of her without it, they come over and they make you erase it.
What?
Yeah.
What? Okay, there's Spooky Empire. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yep.
It's insane. Oh, it's in Orlando too. They're like, you know what? You just pay us. You can take a picture with us, or You can take a picture of us for free, but you can't be in the picture. Okay. okay, so then I could take a picture of you, but what am I going to have that, you know, sentimental, oh, I took a picture of you. There's going to be 1,000 pictures of you at the same event, but what difference does it make?
Yep, exactly.
Unless you're with someone, I plan on getting a picture with Patrick Stewart, and that is it. that is it. The guy's old. Yeah. Age comes and goes, and it goes away, meaning you go away. and I kind of want to get that opportunity before he goes away. Yeah. Poor Patrick Stewart. I will let him haunt me, though. He's very cool. Also, Magneto, so badass. So.
Hey, John, real quick, and Brittany, too, I did find the link, and I posted it in chat. It's October 4th through the 6th. So far, it's Chris Fleming, Josh Gates, Jeff Ballinger, the guys from Darkness Radio, Lisa Wyrick, John Zaffis, Ursula Bielski is going to be there. I believe Jeff Mudgett's going to be there. The list has gotten bigger since it's been created. But I did post the link, and I'll text Ursula after the show and see if there's still spots available if it is something you're interested in.
Yeah, definitely. What I would do is just probably have Mark, my manager, call, because he takes care of Christopher Quarantino. He takes care of Justice Gate. So, Chris Fleming. So, I'll just have to have actually Jeff Muggett. He takes care of him, too. So, I'll probably just have him call and talk to him and see if he can get me there.
Yeah. So, Ursula is pretty much the one that heads it up. Do you know her? Have you ever met her?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah. She's. I actually did an event. And it was a little too many people that response that ended up coming up. On Saturday night, there was a place that we went called Ethel's Party, which is just south of Chinatown in Chicago. And crazy, crazy activity place. We're going to get back in there and check it out when there's less of a group. But there was, I think, and this was on a whim after one of her tours. But there was 76 people that showed up. So, and there was from that afternoon till the evening of when she created the post saying, hey, this is what's going on, that there was too many people, and everybody was running around with equipment. It was all the Chicago, paranormal people. There were people that drove in from central Indiana for this that saw it that afternoon and hopped in their cars and took off. So, wasn't structured enough to actually, I had my bags and they were sitting there and Ursula and I and, our friend Carl were just sitting there talking while everybody was kind of running around and coming up, and it was more of a meet and greet situation. But yeah, that's definitely one. Once I get some more information of the location or what people caught, I have to let you guys know about that too. But yeah, Saturday I was there almost until 4 a.m. and didn't even get a chance to break up my equipment, sadly enough, but it is what it is.
Yeah, we all get those moments, but yes. But there's also, I wanted to go to Vegas really soon because of Las Vegas Paracon, and there, there's a really good guest list, and I'm really kind of jealous that if we go or not, I don't know. Jody's working on it, so... But they recently got to go, I don't even know where, probably Iowa. Jody lives in Iowa, I think, or Idaho.
St. Louis.
I should know this. St. Louis, Missouri. Wait,
yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, she works up there in St. Louis.
It's not that I don't know. I just don't know my states very well. It's very, they all look the same. And
yeah.
I don't have any excuses. I did grow up in the middle of the ocean, so I kind of have an excuse. I don't know. I know what Michigan's like. That's good enough, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Cool.
See, John, I think you agree that I think that Brittany should hook us up with some hometown haunts so we can actually do some sort of convention in Hawaii instead of instead of some of the other places that they are at the certain
Hawaii.
Times, like fall,
sure,
winter.
That would be great.
Hawaii, if she can get us over to Hawaii, definitely.
Oh, well, hey now. You all going to have to find your own way to pay, but okay. Like, I mean, it would be nice to have an event there, not only because, well, it's a popular place to go, you know, on vacation, and everybody would prefer to be on vacation than actually go and investigate. But, you know, you go to investigations, and you might be at an event or whatever, and you go to, like, a boring location where you're like, well, this is going to be cool, but in reality, it's going to be a very long night, and I'm not really interested in the location or the history. It's kind of dull. You go to Hawaii, you want to see it at night. You want to feel it because the minute, I don't even know how to explain it. It's my whole life. I didn't know what it was till I was gone, that this energy that it has, it's so focused because it's a rock. It's a volcanic rock that is in the middle of the ocean, surrounded by water, and it's just centralized energy. So you feel that vibration, and you feel that energy, and you want to go out at night, and you want it. It's almost as if the forest comes alive at night, or the plantations that have been there for a couple, I'm going to say, like, since maybe 1800s. They're really old. They've got a lot of, they've got about, I think, 2 or 3 castles. I know that they have one castle in Honolulu, which is Aiolani Palace, I think. I can't remember exactly, but that's one palace. And they are very open to, I don't know how to say it, either ghostly apparitions or some kind of native energy. You know, they look at it very pagan-like, and that's kind of what I grew up in that environment, and I've just been so attracted to it by that. So if they could maybe get a convention at one of these amazing plantations or, you know, old sugarcane factories where, you know, you won't die from something falling and hitting you, then yes, it would be very nice. And also very easy to get to those locations because you fly into Honolulu. From anywhere in the United States, you can fly into Honolulu. Not hard. It's just expensive. So
I was gonna say, yeah, we're talking about conferences being $200 and, you know, down to $40, down to $20. Well, you're looking at probably a $2,000 convention.
Yes, yes. Per person individually, and but I'm pretty sure that they don't charge for locations, at least, so that's a location fee, because I think they're at least more open to being able to, like, go into a location, kind of scope it out, and really, like, try to share the history, and if you find something it's more useful and helpful than not. And if it's owned by Native Hawaiians, they're not stingy. They're wanting to share their culture with you, and they're wanting to have you have an experience on their land, and kind of just, you know, it's very, very hippy-dippy, very earthy, very, very nice. Native Hawaiians are very loving people. I can't say the rest about the people that live there, but Natives, at least, are pretty, the aloha spirit, as it is. It's the aloha spirit. So, or live aloha. Like, you live, it doesn't mean high and bye, by the way. There's a lot more to it than that. It's like love and peace and just well-being. And, ooh, now I'm going to get really, like, zen. I'm going to get super zen.
It's the mahalo life.
Yes, that is something, yes. That means thank you, but thank you. Mahalo. Ahuiho.
Yeah. Well, no, that's what I, when I was talking, last time I was in Hawaii and I was talking to natives about that stuff, is they said that they live the mahalo life, which is not just thank you to thank you to fellow man. It's thank you to the spirit. Thank you to Mother Earth. Thank you to, you know, everything that they're, that is encompassed with them.
It's like
there's
the
a
land.
Lot of words that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of words that were created in the Hawaiian language that have five different meanings, not two different meanings.
Yes, and I think that there is only 12 letters in the alphabet, which is why learning Hawaiian was very easy to remember. Conveniently, actually. So.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, I know. Well, they, you know, well, when you're in school, they, like, make you take it. Like, you're forced to have Hawaiian class all day, at least once a week. Hawaiian culture, hula dancing, all those good stuff on a cracker. But, yeah. Yes, I said a cracker. Yes. Not meaning that, like, racially or anything like that, but it kind of fit. Dang.
So,
yeah.
So, John, what's some, I know the stuff that you have is upcoming. What's some of the stuff that you've done recently?
Well, we did, just trying to think. We had a private case that we were supposed to do the other night, and unfortunately, because of the weather and the bad storm that we were getting, it got canceled. But we've done a couple of small charity events in the area recently over Christmas time and right before Christmas in November. Trying to think, it pretty much, you know, right after Halloween, it pretty much died off. We did the Rhode Island Comic Con, which was really, really big this year for the first time. They had about 15,000 people there, and it went so good that they booked it that same day for the following year. And so they were going to be back there again, but it was, that's pretty much it so far since, I'd say, since the 1st of November, right after Halloween. Halloween was actually quiet this year. We didn't really get booked anywhere to do any events or anything, and it, you know, the whole thing with the group, I mean, it's just, it comes in spurts. Sometimes we'll get three or four requests to have investigations, then sometimes we won't get any. So I've just been kind of pushing the book, doing promotions for the book, you know, doing radio shows and going up. We did do, I'm trying to think, it was November 17th, I did an event with Amy, Britt, Joe, and Dustin up at the Spalding Inn. Then I was up at the Spalding Inn for a private investigation with some people in December. And then we just did one February 1st and 2nd up at the Spalding Inn with just Grant. It was just me, Grant, and Aiden Sinclair, the paranormal illusionist. So that was a good event. But that's been pretty much it. March, April, May, those seem to be the big months for conventions. I'm booked pretty much for the most part 3 weekends in March, plus we got the big event Gettysburg coming up, and then we got some other, I got another event at a place up in New Hampshire, the Blake Museum. It's in Fitzwilliams, New Hampshire. It's where Taps did a special Halloween show from. So I'm going to be up there with C.C. Carroll on March 9th. And then April, got an event in Rhode Island. And I forgot where my other one is in April. And then May, we got, again, Rhode Island, the Carey Mansion, one of the mansions in Newport. Then we have Fort Mifflin in May, and which the Fort Mifflin event is sold out. Josh Gates, Chris Williams, Zaphis, both the Tangos, father and son, Amy and Steve. So that will be a good event. And then we come back and I do an event on May 31st with Brian Hunois at Rose Island Lighthouse, which one of my group members actually owns the Rose Island Lighthouse. So the whole group will be there for that. And then the very next day we do a charity event for muscular dystrophy in Rhode Island. So it's, you know, it's going to be busy the next couple of months.
Yeah, sounds like it. Oh, my. Isn't that Brian's first event in quite a while?
Well, it will be his first event. He had one scheduled for April, but something happened and it got canceled. It was in New Jersey. So it got canceled. So this May will end up being his first event at the Rhode Island Lighthouse, and it sold out 60 people. So it's going to be a good event. It'll be interesting to see what everybody thinks, you know, about having Brian back. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what people think of the Lighthouse, because we've done other events at the Lighthouse and people love it. And I don't know if any of these people that are coming are returning guests that have been there before or all brand new guests. But I know after talking with my group member, Dave, who owns it, he said that the Lighthouse is sold out for people staying over, because the actual Lighthouse is a bed and breakfast. So you could just call up and rent a room for a night if you wanted to. And all the rooms are completely rented out, and rooms in the barracks, because there's military barracks on the island. Those rooms are actually rented out, too, for people to sleep in. So it's the island's completely sold out for the night.
Very nice. That's going to be exciting.
Great place. I mean, like I said, I've never been to St. Augustine, but St. Augustine is on land. This lighthouse is literally, you have to take a 20-minute boat ride out into the ocean. And this lighthouse is on a 10-acre island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you are literally, when you get dropped off on the boat, you are literally there for the night, and you're stuck there for the night. There's no getting off the island.
I kind of like the sound of that, being stranded and haunted in the middle of the night, and you can't leave. There's no escape. You're trapped. It's like run away and scream. It's going to be actually really fun if you see people panic.
And that's exactly what it is. I mean, you're pretty much stranded on the island. I mean, it's a big island. It's got military barracks. It's got the White House. It's got gun turrets that aren't there no more, but the foundation is where the gun turret would be, and there's actually underground chambers below it where they would store the weapons, the shells. And so if you can go down there and investigate. And on the back side of the island, there's three or four smaller buildings that are still standing that were used to store the dead bombs that didn't go off, like the duds. They would store them over on that side of the island. There's actually a factory on the island. It's about a 50 by 70 size building that actually has the big mixing vat still in it and everything. And it's a great place, great location, ton of evidence from there. I've never been disappointed by going over there. And I mean, how many people can actually say that are out there that, you know, I got to have my own private island for a night.
Yeah.
So that's the other cool part about it. And, you know, if groups are listening that want to go there, they only charge. You can have the whole place to yourself for $300 from 4 o'clock in the afternoon until 9 o'clock the next morning. So
wow, that's really cheap.
And there's I mean, obviously he doesn't want to bring 20 people over, but you know, if you got 10, 12 people that you want to get together to go over, you know, that's included in the $400. It's not, you know, six people for the $400, every additional person is more. It's a flat rate of $400, so you can pretty much bring anybody.
Nice. Well, that's actually worth like a plane trip up there. It really is.
Oh, it is. I mean, you've got to get up there sometime and check it out.
Well, I hope to go to New England one day, and I kind of want to do the cheesy, traditionally touristy stuff, but that would include Sleepy Hollow. And,
yep.
You know, bits and parts of Massachusetts. And the witch trial, obviously. I think I was talking about that with you, Matt. Weren't we?
Yeah.
I don't think we wouldn't talk about that.
I mean, obviously, you want to come up. You want to do the Salem stuff because of the witch trials and all that. You definitely, Sleepy Hollow's cool. You definitely want to go by Lizzie Borden's house. I mean, that's, you know, a big thing just because of
being
Massachusetts. So, I mean, there's a lot to do up here. Plus, you come up, let me know. You know, we can go over to the island. We can do the Bridgewater Triangle and the Freetown Forest. You know, there's a lot of different places that I could hook you up with to take you out to.
Very nice. I'm going to keep that in mind, especially if you guys come down to Florida, which it's like, yeah, I have to pull your leg in order for you to come down to Florida. Nobody wants to come down here. Why? It's too hot for you guys? Too many mosquitoes? What?
Actually, I used to go down there every year for 3 weeks during the summer because my mother lives down there in Beverly Hills in Florida. And then I have two cousins that one lives in Largo, one lives in, what's that town right next to Largo? What is it?
Newport Richey?
No, not St. Pete, Newport Richey.
Clearwater, Palm Harbor?
No, it's small. It's kind of like Largo, but it's the opposite way.
I literally live, I would say, a county over from Largo. So then there's Newport Richey and Pinellas, Oldsmar, St. Pete, Clearwater. You got Dunedin.
Clearwater.
Clearwater.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're lucky over here. I mean, Tampa Bay is probably one of the most beautiful places in Florida not necessarily, quality and every single part, but as far as, beaches go, we're pretty damn close to every single part.
Yeah, I was going to say, I downtown Tampa isn't the best area to be in.
No.
I mean, Ybor City's cool, but downtown Tampa isn't all the best area.
No, it's really not. I don't. That's why I live far, far, far away from it. I decided to move out of a suburb, out into the wilderness, which yeah, it's a lot better, but it's a little bit strange because there's nothing to do here. So, in comparison to obviously Ybor City is freaking what's it called, New Orleans party central basically.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like at least. So, but it is that's nice that you got family in the vicinity.
There's a place that I'm trying to get into down there, and I keep having my cousins go over and check it out and see if they're ever going to start letting people in, is that the Cuban Club down in Ybor City.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of places that are right now abandoned, and they are condemned is the right word, actually.
Yep.
So for whatever reason, I think it's just because of safety. Also, you probably don't want to go. I mean, honestly, you've got these amazing historical, and they're pretty pristine on the outside, not really so in the inside, which is probably why they're dangerous. But the vicinity that they're in, it has to be one of the most dangerous places. It is not. I mean, especially if you're just walking in there at night, no. Somebody is going to come find you. Somebody is going to come do something. So not that I'm saying this so that, I'm going to shut up now because I don't know who's listening. I can't say anything good about it. But, yeah, actually, there was this Gasparilla Pirate Festival, it's like Mardi Gras for us Floridians and piratey Mardi Gras, and I was there that night. And then apparently, after the festivities, someone got into a dispute and a gun shot off accidentally, shooting someone in the leg. So thank God, I was probably at a bar by then, but it's a little dangerous. You can't really, no. So it's as far as it being really historical and it's got gorgeous, with antiquities to it, it feels really good when you go inside of it and you know that it has a lot of history and you know that's going to have good energy that comes with it, good or bad, but you know it's going to have activity. But you're also going to be realizing that you might become one of those activities shortly after you get shot. So don't suggest going over there. But one place that I will suggest is Clearwater, Bellevue Biltmore.
Yes.
Which is also condemned at the moment, I think.
Really?
They had about a year ago probably – it was about 2 years ago they went bankrupt, and someone bought it and tried to renovate it, but they realized they got in over their head, and then they had to shut it down. Then they were going to sell it and make it tear it down. Worst idea ever, to tear down that building. Such a beauty that building is. It's from 1890, and it's a gorgeous hotel, and it's still a gorgeous hotel. It might be bloody hot in the summer because there's no ventilation whatsoever and they don't have air conditioning units. But it is a gorgeous hotel, and they basically shut it down, and we're going to tear it down. And then the city commissioned a petition that rhymed. That was really hard, by the way. but they wanted it to remain historically accurate, and they were not historically accurate. They wanted it to remain as a historical foundation. Like they really wanted to preserve it. So it's in the process of being preserved. I believe that the city won. So it's going to be a historical preservation site. Hopefully it remains that way. But then they still have to fix it up where it's safe. Because, like, the whole fourth floor, the roof was caving in. And, you know, it was dangerous. I mean, but it's such a beautiful place to go. And it has a lot of energy. And they did have TAPSCon. The 1 year that they had TAPSCon, that's where it was.
The one year that they now again I say this because TAPS had nothing to do with it, but the 1 year that it didn't get canceled and found out that there was not going to be one after all.
That was the second year.
Yeah, that's the second year that happened, right?
Yeah, the first one, they wanted to. They got the event, and then I actually, like, kind of asked, and it kind of got, like, to a point of where the hotel was asking for more money than initially suggested, of which they did pay. But, I mean, it was a great idea to have TAPSCon here. Like, finally, by the way, finally a convention that is, like, 30 minutes away from me. And could have possibly been annual, and the hotel destroys my hopes and my dreams. So.
Now, speaking of locations and you know, just stuff like that, John, playing devil's advocate here, has there ever been a place that is quote-unquote famous that is notoriously haunted and has all these stories that you went in and there wasn't a single thing that you guys got at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The biggest one, and, you know, and I say this not out of disrespect to the location, not out of disrespect to any of the people that have been there for the TV shows, but I know for a fact that actually one of my group members is in the chat right now listening, and she will agree with me only because she was there. It was Bobby Mackey's about 2 years ago. We did an event in Bellbrook, Ohio. And literally it was like 40 minutes from Bobby Mackey's. I kept saying, we got to go over, at least just say we were there. Well, Aaron Houdini was at the event with us and we happened to be good friends with him. He says, look, I'm doing an event Halloween night at Bobby Mackey's. Why don't you come over and be a part of the event with me? I said, all right, sure. So we did. And I was so excited to get in there. You know, I couldn't wait to be there. It was going to be a great location. All the stories, all the shows that I've seen about it, I was so excited. We went lights out at midnight. We investigated till 3:30 in the morning. And I was like, I've had enough. I'm going back to the hotel. And we packed up our stuff and left because that whole time we were in there, not a single creak in the floor, not a single picture, not a flashlight going off, not nothing, not a single thing.
And you know, that's one thing I've heard about that place is it's few and far between. Not that nobody has had experience there, but it is kind of a hit or miss depending on. Like, situations have to be perfect.
Yeah. Yep.
Whether or not that's true, I don't know.
So it was just one of those places that it was on my top three list to go to. I went and it was a letdown. So, but then the other two places on my top three list, I've been to one of them. It was amazing. The other one, I don't know if I'll ever get to. So we'll have to see.
Well, I mean, you can always go back one night, you know. Sometimes maybe it's an off night. Maybe the energy is not right. The atmosphere is not right, you know.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and hopefully I will get a chance to go back. Am I, you know, drooling at the bit like I was originally? No. But, I mean, if I ever get the chance to go back there, I definitely would take it and see what I can get that time, you know. There's always that possibility.
Yeah. And what other locations have you wanted to go? If you could go anywhere in the world,
That's exactly what this is. The place that I want to go to the most, my number one place, is Prevalia Island over off the coast of Italy.
Yeah, the one, actually, Ghost Adventures went there, too.
Yeah.
That was a big fire broke out, right?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Not on the show, silly.
Yeah.
The reason for why it's not there anymore, abandoned. And, yeah, it's gorgeous, too. Like, honestly, gorgeous.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's why I just can't wait to get, you know, I don't know if I ever will get the chance. But, you know, eventually maybe that chance might come available and I'll be able to get over there. But when I do, it'll be the best investigation, even if we don't get anything, just to say I set foot on that island, because very few have and very few ever will. They've made that point blank clear that they don't just let anybody onto that island. So.
And what kind of special permission have you ever looked into? How?
Yes, I've made some phone calls. I've tried. It takes asking I forgot what he's called, but it would basically be like the mayor of the city for like around here, for like one of us, like the mayor of Tampa, would have to give permission to let you go over onto the island, spend the night. You have to sign all sorts of waivers. You actually have to get checked out with physicals to be able to go. I mean, it's a long process. And then even once you do all that, he can still turn around and you're cleared. He could turn around and say, you know what? I just don't feel comfortable with it, and not let you go. So it's not even a guarantee after you go through all that process.
I think it was May or June of last year, you have to draw 8 permits and go through the physical health test, and it's still no guarantee. And everything is completely, like, all the permits are not cheap, and they're all out of pocket.
Yep.
Jeez, oh, man. Snap on a cracker stick, seriously. But it does...
The other place that I want to go to is Chernobyl.
Oh, yes. Okay, that probably would top it for me as well.
Okay. Those are my top... Believe it or not, it was those two and then Bobby Mackey's. And, you know, I was kind of like, you know, Bobby Mackey's. But I don't think I could be let down with the other two. I would just be, you know, as much as the tragedy that happened at both the other two, and I don't forget that, it still would be an amazement just to be standing on that ground that everything happened. And, yeah, for a paranormal researcher, it would probably be, you know, the best thing in the world, but I'm just not going there for that. I'm going there for Prevalia, the aspect of the architect, of the work, to see what the grounds of, I mean, supposedly the backside of the island was all the people's ashes. You know what I'm saying? That's what built the backside of the island. So it would just be more of a historical thing, too, not just the fact of, hey, it's a cool paranormal location.
Yeah. I would like to go to Egypt and investigate the pyramids.
No, I've heard people that have gone, and they don't allow the investigation that night.
I guess that's another thing where you would have to get permission from the government, which, by the way, right now isn't doing so well, so fat chance, but, you know.
Okay. Who knows? If they're not doing good, you might be able to throw money and get in that way.
they might bump it a little bit, though, like, you know, more than it should be.
It would probably be a substantial sum.
I don't know, because I heard... I heard Chernobyl, you could pretty much walk into Chernobyl for about $800 American money.
Yeah. I don't know if I would want to pay that much money.
Yeah, well, if you, there are certain stipulations, though. You have to wear Geiger counters. You can only be in there for a certain amount of time. Like, there's, Helmut Kramer from Haunted Encounters and I were talking about it. And that's one place on his bucket list that he was, you know, he's saying he really, really wants to go and check out and really, really wants to investigate. But there's, if you want to talk about red tape, I don't honestly know of any place that's larger than that to actually try and get into.
You're absolutely right, because last year at Dragon Con, I talked to Josh Gates about it a little bit. And to get the show there, it took them almost a year of going back and forth with the government trying to get them in there.
Yeah.
And you need more than just one night.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
It's a vast place, and, you know, that's another $800. Is it per person, you said?
No, that's for, like, a group to go.
Okay. Now, see, that's a little better. Okay. Calm down a little bit after you just said that. Oof.
$800 per person.
You know, speaking of that, as far as the one night and more than one night to actually be able to investigate someplace, there's a theory that David Rountree and I have been talking about is the theory of familiarity, which I don't know, and I'd love to get your opinion on this. When you go into a place, or not even just you, just in general. You go into a place, there's a group of three or four or five or six or however many may be. If you go in there for one night and there's quote-unquote spirits, you know, the dead are there looking for us and we're looking to talk to them, it is a passed away human being. It's still a stranger that you're trying to communicate with. They don't know who you are. You don't know who they are. And you're trying to talk to them. You're trying to, you know, communicate. You're trying to do whatever you can. Well, on a single light investigation, if you were a spirit and you knew that there's no way that anybody can see you or hear you or anything unless you want that to happen, wouldn't on a first night kind of thing, wouldn't you hide to just kind of like feel the people out and see who they are? And if you're there for two or three nights, that, you know, the familiarity becomes more prevalent to where they know who you are. It's that you walk in, you introduce yourself, you walk in, you introduce yourself, you walk in, you know, it becomes repetition at that point. And you might get a little better response on a second or third night in a location than just a first night.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, I've been to places just one time and not gotten any type of evidence, whether it be EVP, photo, video, nothing. But yet we've done other locations and, you know, after going back three or four or five times, you're absolutely right. It's like they seem comfortable with us to come out and talk to us. And that's, you know, a good point that you and David Rountree bring up, because I think there is, you know, obviously we all believe that with the spirits past that they were humans, whether they were. And I talk about this a lot because, you know, people – And I'm not trying to get off the question, but people tend to, you know, go in, they provoke, they push around, things like that. And you got to realize that those spirits were people at one time. Would you turn around and treat that person that way if they were in front of you? Probably not. Now, one of my other points is with this, a lot of people say, oh, it's a demon, everything's a demon nowadays, blah, blah, blah. Not necessarily, because you got to think, again, these were people at one point. Now, you could have somebody like one of us three that are nice people, get along with everybody, and pass on, and we're a great spirit. But then you could have somebody like, and I'm just using this as an example, but somebody like Charlie Manson that passes on, I mean, he could be a complete jerk on the other side from doing everything he's done in the past. Well, I think once you are a certain way, even if you pass on, you're going to stay that way. So if you are hurting people, torturing people, doing bad things to people in your past when you're alive, what's to say or stop you from doing that as you pass on and you're in the afterlife and we're out there searching for you? Or what's to say that the house that you're in now that's haunted, you know, say like, for instance, my house, we got activity here. If, you know, somebody's being dragged out of bed or, you know, being choked or anything, that's not to say it's a demon. That's just saying that it's a bad spirit. Very well possibly could be a demon. It very well possibly could be just some mean, grumpy old man that treated his wife bad, that decided to pick on the woman in the house now and treat her the same way. So, there's so many different things, but you're absolutely right with the whole aspect of, you know, they need to, that comfort. They need to know who you are and feel comfortable around you.
Yeah, and that was one thing that I was talking to a lot of people about, and every event that I've done, some people ask me questions about it, is if you were just happen to be walking down the street or you walk into somebody's house and you just started, screaming, oh, I hear you're a badass, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you're intelligent, not a residual, I'm talking just, you know, strictly intelligent at this point, wouldn't you just be like, yeah, I don't see what your problem is. I'm just going to go hide in the corner. You're not going to know where the hell I am. And I'm not going to say a damn word to you.
It's true. I mean, I've told people, that's one of the biggest questions that I get doing a lot of the shows, the radio shows, is, you know, do you provoke? And when we do a private residence, now, I'm not talking Bobby Mackey's, I'm not talking a Waverly Hills, but a private residence where somebody needs help, you know, they've called you in, they got problems going on. None of my team does provoke. I'm usually the one that kind of pushes buttons, but not out of control. But nobody in my team really provokes. When we're at a place, a private residence, we will not do that. We will, you know, ask questions, keep it on a, you know, base level, you know, not be rude, upset people. But when we're at a place, you know, like, for instance, if we were doing at an event at Waverly Hills, yeah, I might say, hey, you know, and push the boundaries and say, are you that rude guy that's beating up people? Well, if you like to beat up somebody, beat up me, or I'm going to do this back to you. I might do that. Am I going to swear at them? No. What's the point of that? You know, if it's an intelligent and you're swearing at it, they're not going to respond back. You know, if you kind of entice them and say, hey, well, for instance, I did this at an investigation, and Sue in the chat room was there that night. She had just left, unfortunately, so she didn't see it happen. We were at the Victorian Mansion in Gardner, Mass., and it was an event that we were doing. We were up in the room where this gentleman supposedly spontaneously combusted way back in the day. So we were in his room, and, you know, people have said they've been touched by somebody in there and blah, blah, blah. So nothing was going on. It was kind of quiet. So we had a 2 meter set up, tri-fields, EMF, mel meters. We had the flashlight set up to try and answer questions with. Nothing was working. So finally I said, well, I'm going to try and push the boundaries a little bit. I said, well, you know, if you're here, please let me know. If you're not, I'm going to sit down on your bed. And I heard you don't like when guys sit on your bed and I'm not getting up. Nothing. I said, okay, last chance. I'm going to go sit on your bed. Nothing. As I walked over, my ass cheeks no sooner hit that bed. Flashlights went off, K2 started spiking, mel meters were buzzing. It was crazy. It was instant. Like, I literally sat on the bed and it went haywire in there. So just to make sure it wasn't fake, like not fake, but that it was just some weird coincidence, I said, all right, can you please shut all this off and I'll get off your bed? A couple of the things went off. I said, look, that's not enough. I need everything. If you shut everything off, I'll get off your bed. Until then, I'm not, and I am going to sleep on your bed all night. Instantly, it felt like I got ribs with a baseball bat. I lost all my breath, could not even catch, like, stand up to catch my breath. Finally, I did, and luckily, one of my other group members, Joellen, was holding the camera, and she had the video camera recording all this. So I ended up going and standing up saying, thank you for showing me. I'll get off your bed now. And next thing I know, my ribs were burning. So I lifted up my shirt, and lo and behold, you could see my ribs welting. And it literally had the Roman numeral IV, or what looked like an IV. A couple other people were saying it looked like the letter W. Now, the thing that makes this interesting is the guy that supposedly spontaneously combusted, his name was William, or actually Bill, they called him, but his real name was William. Now, if it was a W, was he telling me, hey, it's me, I see you, and I got the scratch of the W on me? But to me, it looked like a Roman numeral 4. Not many people know this, is I'm the fourth in my family. So it actually looked like he was carving in the IV, Roman numeral 4, to tell me, hey, I know who you are. But that's what I'm saying about provoking. You know, I didn't really swear at him, be mean to him. I just kind of pushed it a little bit to say, hey, come on, do something here, and just kind of enticed him, but did it in a way of not being rude.
Yeah. Well, you know, as a female, I have occasionally done some provoking, otherwise known as sweet talking, hey, because I get away with it. but so far, I've only gotten good responses, not because I'm getting, like, positive responses, but because of the energy that I emit when I get frustrated, which obviously, when you give off a lot of energy, and it might be negative, but you can possibly use that as, like, a pool for some kind of ethereal entity to kind of, like, draw energy from. If you're acting out in frustration, you do leave quite a bit of energy to be drawn from. So I think that's why people believe provoking works. If you break it down scientifically, why would it work? Not necessarily because you're, like, pissing something off on the other side, and they're like, I'm going to show you because you won't shut up. I'm going to show you, like, I think it's more about how much energy you emit when you get a little bit agitated and you provoke and you start to provoke, and you probably do get something in response, negative or, you know, not even, like, with a touch of, like, a book falling off the whatever. For example, I'm thinking I'm in a jail, so I don't really know where a book came from. Mainly, like, if you hear, like, a little door creak, you know, that's maybe all the energy that you're giving off in order for whatever entity to kind of show itself. Or if it's going to push you or scratch you, you know, that takes a lot of energy too. Where is it drawing all this energy from if not your energy and your frustration and your provoking and your agitation? And you get angry yourself and you get, you know, flustered and you're giving off all this energy. And it's either really convenient that you do get angry, not you in particular, but in general, investigators that tend to use that tactic a lot more than others, which I would actually be interested in kind of going into a location peacefully with a lot of good vibes and good energy and maybe do a circle. And sounds really lame and hippie, but kind of hold hands and level out the vibrations in the atmosphere and kind of feel the location and give off all your energy. I mean, I don't know if Sarah told you this, Matt, but me, Sarah, and Carrie decided to hold hands and kind of have a collective circle of energy, and it was really peaceful. You know, we were not provoking. It was very peaceful. You know, I felt within that circle that we were really protected. And we were kind of allowing whatever it was to kind of draw from our collective energy and, you know, maybe knock something over. And to our surprise, that was actually quite successful. So if you take it from a different approach, I think it's just about how much energy you're giving off as a person. Does that make any sense, or have I lost you, men?
No, it makes sense.
It makes perfect sense to me, but you gotta remember, Brittany, what's my background?
I don't know. Does it have to do something with Egypt or like maybe not anything to do with Egypt? Maybe like, you know, knowledge, you know, education. How far back are we talking about?
No, actually my and John, I don't know if you know this too, but my background is in abnormal surgery. That's what I went to school for. That's what I practiced in for a while. Then I was an EMT, so I'm familiar with body functioning, brain functioning, stuff like that. So, and I do also have a lot of research in Egyptology, which is what Brittany is hinting at the moment. So, but yes, that's why it makes perfect sense to me is the way the mind thinks and the electromagnetism it creates, and when you get everybody that's in tune in one, and we can get into cult stuff later in a different show because that will take forever, but it does make a lot of sense. But no, that I completely understand what you're saying.
Good. Thought I maybe lost you guys. I tend to do that. Don't you miss me, John? Don't you?
Absolutely. We missed you last weekend with the whole fiasco that went on, but we're here now, so that's all that matters.
I know. It was my mother's 62nd birthday, which I don't know if Matt let people know that it was my mother's birthday, but it was. Which she's 32 again. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
My mom has hit that numerous times.
Yep. I mean, she had me when she was 12. Isn't that incredible? Really? That is a modern marvel, really. And, well, no, wait a minute. She had me when she was 9. That's even better. Wow. Damn, girl. She got it. Damn. Impressive.
That's almost sister level.
I know. It's more like grandmother level, but don't let her know that. No comment. Anyway, yeah, we had a good time. But yes, I'm back and I'm here and I'm awesome and I'm glad to be here. And I think next week is spring break, so I'm really excited. Yet I have nothing planned, so except not going to school. Number one plan. Like, I'm just looking forward to that. It's going to be amazing. So what do you guys got coming up for spring break? Obviously, it's more of like a school kind of, you know, college, boring, dull life. But, you know, some people take vacation during spring, occasionally called Easter break, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what some schools do is Easter break around here.
Yeah. You guys got anything good planned? Any awesome trips?
Nope.
Nope? Just events and that's it? Huh?
I am literally stuck with events right now. Like, you know, we got a couple of, like, good surprises coming for a couple of the events. The one with Brian Hanois on Rose Island, I might actually have... I'm very good friends with one of the winners from Face Off, from the TV show Face Off, and she's never been out here to New England, so she's trying to plan a New England trip. Actually, I just let the cat out of the bag because I said she, but they're trying to plan their trip around coming out to New England around that event and the charity event the next day so they can actually show up at both the events and just kind of be like an added bonus for anybody that goes to the charity event or that one.
Okay. Impressive.
So, I mean, other than that, nothing really planned, like, trip-wise, just a lot of paranormal stuff right now.
Nice. Well, I'm kind of jealous of you, not going to lie. I mean, I wish I had that kind of time to at least plan around it and maybe focus a little bit more on, you know, paranormal events and kind of just going out and investigating in general. I mean, it's really hard to find people like-minded in this area that I live in, which is mostly populated by deer. So,
well, that populated by deer, and then the rest of the state of Florida is populated by old people that want to retire down there.
It is so unfortunate. I can't find anybody that listens to metal, let alone goes paranormal investigating. Seriously. It's bad enough as it is.
That, you know what? Here's the problem that we have up here. And, Brittany, I know we've talked about this, and I've talked to, or I complained to everybody about this. But in the Chicago area, there's very, very, very few venues that are actually cool with letting investigators go in, letting researchers go in, letting, you know, historians even go in to look at that side of stuff. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the bugaboo about all that crap is, but it seems like the Chicago, which, and I know it's been all over the news nationwide with all of our government issues that we've had, it seems like they try and sweep everything under the rug. I mean, they tore down the St. Valentine's Day Massacre site. Nobody even mentions the Eastland, which the Eastland is the second largest maritime disaster in the history of the world, pretty much, that happened right in the Chicago River. And all there is a little plaque, which Harpo Studios, where Oprah used to broadcast from, she has her own accounts of paranormal stuff, but nobody's ever been in there.
And who would take Oprah seriously, really?
Not a single person. Have you read her last book?
No. Do I look like I would read a book? I would read a book, but not her book. But thanks for asking.
But and I know, like, John, I'm jealous as hell because of the amount of acceptance that you guys get out there and the longer history. And I mean, going back to the Civil War, going back to, you know, a lot through just all of history that you guys get to experience in that area that we have here, not as old, but just nobody lets us do a damn thing with it.
Yeah, I mean, we are very, very lucky. I mean, it's taken a lot. It's taken a lot of great groups in this area. And, you know, don't get me wrong. There's always going to be those groups that do things the wrong way. But there is a majority of some great groups out this way that are honest, hardworking, and, you know, have built a good bond with places like, you know, the local forts that are out here, local historical buildings. Like a friend of mine, Ken DaCosta, runs a group called Rise Up Paranormal, and we're kind of sister groups. And literally, they're only about 20 minutes from me, but they're in Rhode Island. And they have all the historical houses in different parts of Rhode Island, the Nathaniel Green House, the Payne House, the Stowe House. They've built bonds with them and became friends with the people that run it. And, you know, now they've opened it up to the public and let them do things. Like the charity event, they actually are the ones that put the charity event for muscular dystrophy on that we do. And it's at a location that, at first, the location, it's called St. Anne's Church, and it's in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Huge, huge cathedral. They never wanted anything paranormal going on there at all. Finally, Ken broke down the barrier to the board of directors because the church is closed, so it's privately owned by a board that will rent it out for weddings and different things, but it's not an active church. He finally broke down their boundary and got them to let him in and do an investigation, and ever since, they've been more open to it. Although they're not letting the public come in, what they do is let Ken go in, do an investigation. If he wants to bring five or six people with his group, they can go in that way. So I've been lucky to investigate the place, and I'll tell you, it's very active, very beautiful. But they've opened it up now to Ken doing charity events there, and part of the money goes to the church too. So it's nice that, you know, with some of groups around here like that, that we're able to get into places that we normally probably wouldn't, like out in your way, because they have a bad thought about it.
Well, and that's the thing that we're, and Ursula and Carl and Dane and even Jeff Mudgett out in Vegas, and we've been trying to get that, you know, bring a positive aspect to it. And I understand you're not going to get you're not going to get the best people every time, but it does create a revenue stream that will help preserve and save some of these places.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're trying to bring to Chicago, and this next year, I mean, we're definitely going to hit that hard, because you look at it, if you look at Chicago right around the time of the Chicago fire, the lakeshore was actually miles before where it actually sits now. So there was a lot of stuff that was created. There was a lot of energy created and a lot of history that, I mean, for example, when I was talking about the Eastland earlier, the Eastland, which capsized in the Chicago River, there was, if memory serves me correctly, there was 847 people that died in that disaster feet from the shore in the Chicago River. And Harpo Studios and also Excalibur Nightclub were used as makeshift morgues and hospice and the hospital.
Yikes.
So there were lives that were, there were countless lives that were lost there, but they don't really talk about that kind of thing.
Well, to put it into perspective, I mean, one of the things that that group Ken from Rise Up Paranormal did, it basically, I'm trying to think which house it was. I think it was the Payne house. His son's a carpenter. And from doing 7 events, plus opening it up to 15 private investigations throughout the year. So basically they did probably like two or three private investigations a month, and then like one or two events every other month, something like that. They were able to get the whole house originally cedar shingled the way it was back in the day, because all the cedar shingles were falling off. It was in a bad state. I mean, they thought they were going to lose the house because it was going to rot away. And from doing those events and raising money, they were able to side the whole house and the roof with cedar shingles. And then Dave's company, the guy Ken's son, came in, and they donated their whole time for free to come in and do the work. So, I mean, you know, doing these events can help out locations, like you said, because you raise money for the location that can go back into it.
Yeah.
So I got a question for you, John. Have you ever been to Gettysburg?
Yes.
Already?
This is going to be my third year. I absolutely love the event that every year around the third week of March, there's a huge, huge event called Phenomenology.
Mm.
This is my third year going to Phenomenology. It's one of the best events that I've been to, and hopefully I've caught wind that they will keep continuing it next year and for a couple of years, and I hope they do, because it is, everybody is like family there. You know, this year it's gotten even bigger. They brought in a lot bigger names, different genre of people. You know, usually it's the paranormal people, and a lot of times it's the same people, but they'll add like one or two big names. This year they actually opened it up, and they brought in Josh Gates and Rex Williams as the big names in paranormal this year. Of course, you still have, you know, big names there. I mean, just to name a few, I mean, John Zaffis has always been there. He's been there since day one, but he'll be there again this year. A couple other members from his group are going to be there. You got Dave Schrader, Chris Fleming that'll be there. Jeff Belange is going to be there. So, I mean, there's names that are going to be there, but they're regulars. They're there every year. But Rex and Josh are the big draw this year. But they opened it up to horror. So they got Tony Moran coming in, the original Michael Myers from 1978 or 79 when Halloween came out. They got him coming there. They got a couple of the people from The Walking Dead along with some of the zombies coming in. So it's going to be an amazing, amazing event this year. And from what I understand, it'll get even bigger next year. But Gettysburg as a whole, I mean, is amazing. Last year we got to investigate General Lee's headquarters and Jenny Wade House. I'm hoping this year we get to do the Eisenhower Farmhouse and one of the museums, whether it be the orphanage or the soldier museum. I'm hoping we get to one of those.
So, question is, when you go out on the field, what do you sense?
You know, we did the investigation on the field, but we had to do it, which I have no problem investigating during the day, but during the day on the field, there's a lot of tourists. So you've got obviously a lot of contamination.
Yeah.
But we did, and it is a different feeling. I mean, we were there one time very early in the morning, and then we went very late in the afternoon, almost at dusk. And there was just, you know, that feeling of like, you know, you're standing on top. I was standing up on top of, I forgot what it's called, but the rock where they were hiding and they were basically shooting up on this hill trying to kill the Southerners. And I just can't think of the name of what it's called because it's a famous, famous rock there. But I was standing up on top of it and, you know, it was just like I was being watched. And it was early in the morning. There was nobody out there at that point except for us. And it just, you know, that the feeling like you're being stared at, you're being watched. One of my group members actually caught a really, really weird picture. You know, I don't want to say it's paranormal because we can't prove it. But the thing is, we were at that rock, and he was shooting a picture away trying to get the whole battlefield. And there was a car coming up the hill. Well, in the picture, you see something standing right in front of the car that looks like a soldier. I mean, the way he was dressed and everything, but there are a lot of people that are reenactors that are always walking around. You know, you have to take that into consideration. You have to take into consideration that the car was shining the light, the headlights back at you because it was at dusk time. So could it have been some type of reflection causing it? Who knows? But it's just that eerie feeling that, you know, you're being watched all the time while you're out there.
Yeah. I would imagine that, especially, not necessarily at night, but imagine this, if you will. The sun coming up, still, you know, kind of dark outside, but the sun's just peeking over the horizon, and you've got that dew in the air, and all that energy is about to explode, which sounds really weird that I just said it out loud. But just imagine that, like that point between daylight and just like the night going away, how much activity you feel in the morning. At least this is what I experience from living in Hawaii, which is something that I've never felt before anywhere else. Maybe in Europe, that amazing energy that, you know, most of Europe should have because it has so much energy within its grounds. But you just feel that peak of energy in the morning. If you stay up late enough, you'll know, or if you wake up early enough, you'll know. You go outside and you feel almost as if everything's coming to life. In that moment, I would expect a little bit of, like, at least prominent activity. I can't really say that all the activity happens at night, and especially you don't really notice it during the day. You know, you're distracted, and your senses, you know, you're more focused on visual than, you know, hearing. And obviously, with animals and background noise, it's very hard to, like, really pinpoint exactly what happens. But I just wanted to go out on the field early in the morning when the sun's rising and feel that energy and that vibe and see if you can possibly get anything from that, minus the birds chirping. I think that would be really disturbing, but, you know, a little bit inconvenient in that, you know, shut up, nature, you know, just go away. But it would be really interesting. I think that's one of my dreams, so that'll be really nice. And, yeah, I'm just really intrigued by Gettysburg and by, you know, we might not have that type of history in America as the rest of the world does, but that is, you know, part of our past and our brutal past, to be perfectly honest. But it's kind of it gives you a sense of cultural diversity to be able to walk on those lands and feel that, you know, negative impact that it had, but also, you know, came out good pretty much. Well, people died, so I'm not really sure. But it's such a strong part of our history. And to be paranormal investigators and kind of to look at it, like, in a different way, to look at that history that's happened in a different way, possibly get more closer to it, it's a great honor. And that
it
sounds
is,
really
it,
lame,
it,
but
no,
it is.
It is kind of an honor to step on the field. And one of our close friends, their group is called Shadows of the Paranormal, and they're one of the ones that go there every year. Well, one of their actual team members is a reenactor of the Civil War, and he goes down there every year for the big reenactment. And even he tells me, like, they let them pitch the tents on the field, and it's full-on reenactment. So he's like, you know, sometimes I talk to him, and he'll tell me sometimes he wakes up in the middle of the night, and he just gets up, goes out of his tent, and he'll look around and just wonder what it could have been like back then with all the trouble going on, you know, and try and think of what they went through, even though now it's totally, you know, made up, but to just think of what they went through in the, you know, the weather that they had to live in the rough setting of being in the tent, all cold, feet always wet, you know, it's just to see what your country did back then, it's kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, minus the grotesque bloating and exploding everywhere, bits and pieces
yeah.
of humans, you know. That part, too, is pretty cool. If you like morbid, if that's your kind of stuff, it's really cool.
Well, Brittany, I know that Dennis and you and I have talked about it, but John, like, if you're looking at doing Civil War stuff, obviously Gettysburg for sure. And one, let me know how that goes, because I've gotten hits or misses on that one. But I do have a satellite team, which is my friend Dennis runs CPR East, who he's in Richmond, Virginia. And some of the plantations and some of the battlefields and stuff around him, if you're ever down in the Richmond area, just look up Dennis, and I guarantee he will bring you to places that will, like, pretty much blow your mind.
Definitely. I will have to do that.
So, yeah, it's all... I was down there for an event. It was... August 12th of last year, and I went to the Weston Plantation, which didn't really get anything, but we were there at dusk, and we didn't have much time because the owners wanted to, you know, go home, stuff like that. But we drove around a couple of the battlefields, and we're walking around, and, I mean, they weren't shoddy areas by any means. Like, it was nicer areas, you know, probably, you know, $400,000 to $500,000 homes surrounding this area. So you wouldn't expect to hear gunshots. Well, yeah, that's what I was hearing, was gunshots. And personally, I trap shoot, so I'm not too unfamiliar with the sound of gun blasts.
Mm-hmm.
But these weren't gun blasts, they were musket shots. And no police sirens, no nothing. Just hearing gun blasts off in the distance when you're sitting in the middle of a field. Kind of scary, but at the same time, it's like pretty damn cool. Like,
I know, like burst of energy that just emits sound. That is pretty cool. It's very fringe science. Very interesting.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I kind of always like curious exactly how. Oh, but if I get into a series, we're going to be talking for a while, so.
Yeah, I don't get that rogue gunshot thing. Like, how can powder have a residual energy? Yes, it creates energy, but and a timestamp and, you know, and what it is to repeat. There's no life. There's no nothing involved with that.
But it's still sound waves, and that's, you know, particles. Just like, okay, I'm going to sound really, really nerdy right now, but you can, you know, I could just be talking right now, and then you can scan my window, measure my window for sound bits and waves, and then you'll hear exactly this radio show, exactly the way I'm saying it. You know, it can record sound. I mean, that's just my window can record what I'm saying right now. You just have to know how to, you know, get it off of the glass, which there is technology for that. Thank goodness I don't have to think about that because scientists already did. But same thing with the Earth. You know, if there are certain environments and the atmosphere and the conditions are right, you might be able to absorb sound, not you, but nature, might be able to absorb sound and maybe just have bursts of energy where it's omitted. I mean, it's such a possibility because anything is really possible, especially if we're going to go back to, like, why humans exist or why dinosaurs existed. You think, okay, maybe Mother Nature's capable of doing a few other things. Things that we can't explain.
Brittany, for that, we need 2 more hours.
I know. I know. This is why I said I'm not going to get into theories because every time I either get pissed off or I'm like, I'm so confused because I forget what I said. So, no. Or don't do that to me.
See, a lot of it, and this is another thing that, and we'll get into this at a later show. And, John, if you want to be part of this, I'll say I'm sorry, but I'd welcome you to it. Is David Rountree and I? We work on a physics level, like as far as the way that our minds function.
Yeah.
And when it comes to that, there's rips in time, there's loopholes, there's dark matter, there's white matter. They've actually been able in a lab using dark matter to freeze light and move it back and forth within a certain prism. So there, nothing is impossible. It's just what can we understand to make it probable and make it understandable.
Yeah. Well, you know, I also think very physically or like quantum physics, if you will, like things that you take it down to a very minuscule molecular level and you try to rip everything apart and try to explain it. And no, I don't live in a lab, so I do not know how to do that, create dark matter and all that good stuff. But it is very interesting to know that we, you know, just because we cannot see something doesn't mean that it is... I'm going to say people go to the conclusion that something is in like demonic or angelic or some kind of ghostly being, but what if it's just a stamp in history? You know, what if it's not a ghost tapping on your shoulder going, hey, can you hear me? Like, you there? Like, what if it's not intelligent? Or maybe your body emits energy when you die because it is recyclable and does it come with a personality? Is that your soul? Is that your so-called soul? I'm pretty sure I've discussed this before. I probably say it every day. So, yeah, I'm sure I've discussed this before. But that's, you know, there are so many theories. But you can break it down. So, in layman's terms, people that you tell you're in the paranormal field, they don't look at you like you've lost your damn mind. Because half the time that's what happens. At least to me. I'm not around the type of people that are open-minded. I'm not around many pagans, which can kind of take it more on an energy level and kind of like have an animistic view on it and, you know, very life circle, life force, you know, animals, plants, mountains, trees, they all give off energy and they all have kind of some kind of residual energy. And do they consider that haunted? Is that what their definition of a haunting is? Or are we talking like somebody's scratching you, somebody's knocking over your furniture, pulling down plastic blah, blah, blah plates and crashing them and, you know, causing chaos and negativity throughout your home? You know, you want to call that a demon, whatever. You want to call that a collective bunch of negative energy that's just passing through and maybe found a good spot to attach to because it's attracted to your negative energy. You know, I kind of just could get into this for a while, so I'm going to shut up right now. But it is my theory, and that is part of it. And everybody has their own opinion. And I might sound like an idiot, but I really don't care. It is my radio show. I can sound like an idiot if I want to.
You don't sound like an idiot. You do not sound like an idiot at all.
Definitely not.
So, John, on that level, what's your opinion of the paranormal?
As in which aspect of it? Because, I mean, it's, you know, the paranormal has gone in such, and the paranormal in my eyes has gone in two different directions. There's the people that are taking it very serious.
Mm-hmm.
And doing further advancements in the paranormal, like people like David Roundtree and yourself. I mean, you're trying to learn other ways that these spirits could be there and that you could be working with them and communicating with them. But then there's the other people that are out there for the wrong reasons. And basically they're just trying to get famous and, you know, they'll do anything they can to do it, whether it means backstabbing, talking about people behind their backs or, you know, calling them out, saying that they did things that, you know, they shouldn't have done when it wasn't true. I mean, it just goes on, and it's sad that's happening. So, I mean, in both aspects, the paranormal is doing great things, and then it's horrible. I mean, I think there's too many groups out there to begin with that are popping up, and they, you know, they see the shows are a great thing, but the shows are a great thing for entertainment, and that's what people aren't realizing. People are taking the shows too serious. The shows, yeah, it was a great thing because it brought it and made this whole paranormal thing more open for people to understand and accept. But it's also entertainment, and that's what people are not realizing. And they're going, oh, wow, look what they just got. I want to do that. It's fun. It's cool. Well, they'll form a group. They'll go get their buddies, go into a house, not knowing that they could actually come across something serious and hurt themselves or hurt the families. Or what else is happening is after 3 or 4 times of going into locations and nothing happens and they sit there for 6, 8, 10 hours, this sucks. What the hell are we doing this for? So it's, you know, that's the problem with the TV is that people are getting the wrong idea out of it. I mean, it's no different than reality TV. I mean, it is kind of reality TV, but it's no different than any other show that's out there. I mean, it's there for entertainment purposes. It's not a, you know, hey, learn this. It's a trade, and we're going to teach you, and you can go make money off of it.
Yeah, no, and I definitely agree with that. And I mean, a couple points just real quick I'll touch on. One, there's not a single damn thing that I've ever done, whether I've spoken at an event or I've done a house or hosted an event or anything that I've gotten a single penny from. I do all of this out of charity. I do all of it out of helping people. That's what it comes down to. Secondly, when it comes to the shows, no, it is not like what you see on TV in an actual investigation. That's what you see, what comes off the cutting room floor of editors and producers and crap like that. Thirdly, when I entered this field, and this is a self-declination, if you will, I always thought of myself as a scientific group. I mean, everything that I've done as far as scholastically and everything has been in a professional scientific manner. Well, I can't be a scientific group, nor technically can anybody else, just due to the fact that you can't reproduce stuff in a lab. You can't re-experiment if something fails. You can't, you know, you can't go through those motions. Do I do things with protocol? Correct. Would I call myself a scientific person in the field? No, because you really can't, because science is testing, failure, possibility, testing, success. And you can't reproduce that in those exact parameters.
In order to have it be like a scientific experiment, per se, if you had to do something in the field, exactly how do you go about that? Because you have to be able to recreate it.
And you can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Difficult part, but you know what? They have recreated the atom molecule, so it's like, hey, you can have a mini Big Bang Theory, Big Bang occurrence. I mean, not the show. I've never even seen that show, but hey, whatever.
You're not missing anything.
Oh, I doubt it. But if you have, you know, the ability to create molecules and destroy them, and you know, they've had many different theories and a hypothesis and, you know, trial and error to the point where they finally were to be able to create it. Wouldn't that be possible to say, you know, build a big nuclear size lab and kind of experiment with energy and see if you get any kind of like residual energy that is constant? That creates a pattern of activity. I mean, it sounds far-fetched, but in reality, I mean, we've done more. It's just the idea of doing something so minuscule to find out if there's ghosts or not. Science don't exactly want to buy into that, plus it costs a lot of money. You know, there's no real way. Like Dane said, there's no real way of figuring this shit out. Pardon
no,
my friend.
There isn't. I mean, If there was a way to figure it out and everybody could prove that it's out there without a reasonable doubt, prove that it's out there, there would be half the amount of teams that were out there, and I mean, all our questions would be answered.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. We can't. There's no, you know, sometimes, I said this once before on a show, and somebody kind of came back at me and asked me if I was feeling all right when I said this, but, you know, we're out there searching for what could be a spirit, okay? And this is going to get into one of those conversations that we're never going to be able to touch on right now because I know the show's almost over, but it'll leave you thinking about something. You know, we're out there looking for what could be a spirit of the afterlife and, you know, what happened to, say, the soldiers from, you know, the war, from whether it be Gettysburg or even present day, or, you know, just a family that happened to pass away because their house burnt to the ground. We're out there doing that. But what's to say that we're not in a parallel universe, that there's people actually trying to communicate with us and we just don't realize it? Like, say the spirits are trying to actually contact us and we're not real and we're actually the spirits to them.
Okay, yeah, that's a concept to look at it as.
You know, what's to say that that ain't the truth? I mean, we all know we're real, but does that not say that the spirits know that they're real and they think that we're actually the idiots that they're looking for? I mean, seriously, I mean, there's always that thought.
Well, that's like the Others incident. Like, the Others actually had a pretty good point. Like, look at it, like, they're being haunted, but really they're the ones haunting.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. It's like, you know, are they the ones that are living and we're kind of in limbo thinking that we're living, but we're in that middle space? I mean, who the hell knows what we are? I mean, we all think we know what we are.
Yeah.
But is that really truly what we are? I mean, are we who we are and are we meant to be here? Or are we kind of in that medium space and there's somebody actually looking for us? Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I actually watched that movie today. So
what?
kind of funny it got tied in. It was on Showtime twice today, and I watched half of it one point and half of it the other point.
Nice.
But no, and honestly, John, well, that's something that I've been working on, and we'll talk about that later. Yeah, I mean, I know the show's ending, so. But yeah, we'll talk about that at a later date because that's for sure
yeah.
Something that I've been delving into the possibility of.
That's a whole show in it by itself.
Yes, and you know what? I actually love the sound of that. I love pondering the existence of humans and what is our purpose and are we really here? Are we just an illusion? What is it? You know, I want to know. I could talk about that for 2 hours. I could talk about pretty much anything for 2 hours. So we should consider it a date. So we can meet up same time, same place, different day, though.
Maybe we might be able to plan this for while I'm down in Florida doing the St. Augustine event. Maybe I'll just have to stick around one extra day instead of coming home on Monday. Come home on Tuesday, and then I can do the show live from your place with you.
That'd be pretty cool. You better hope I'm here and not partying up somewhere else. Better not have a break.
You better make plans. If I'm going to be in Florida, you better make plans for me to be there.
You better make plans that I'm here, too. Yeah, it works both ways, damn it.
Well, I'm giving you the date that I'm going to be down there, so don't make plans.
Okay, what is the date that you're going to be down there, down here, I mean?
Give me 1 second and I'll tell you the dates.
Okay, duly noted.
I just got to look them up. I forget what they are. I just know it's in September sometime. It is. Oh, let me see. September 28th, which I'm sure is a Saturday, so that means I'll be there September 26th, 25th. I'll be there Wednesday the 25th through Tuesday the whatever it is, like 31st.
Okay. We shall see how my schedule is because that is at least 7 months away and I have no idea what I'm doing on the 28th. At least you do. Jeez. I don't think that far ahead. My brain would implode.
If I'm going to be in Florida, you got to keep your schedule open for me.
I will try. I can't promise anything because, damn, I need a calendar. So you give me a calendar already now.
John, I'll be on our ass about it.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Well,
excuse
me, the shit out of me is not a way to do it. Hey, now, I cannot predict the future, but if you do know somebody who does, please let me know. Because I would love it. It would be so helpful. And they can give me my test answers. Actually, they could just do my tests for me. And, you know, yeah. Yeah, you know how it goes. I always want to know what the future looks like. All the way up to September, even. Not just like, you know, a week from now.
So, John, we got about 5.5 minutes left. If you got anything you want to plug right now, go ahead.
Anybody can go check out the website. It's called neparanormalresearch.com. We got a lot of great events coming up. You guys can check them out there. Also, check them out at idealeventmanage.com. If you're looking to book anybody, you can get them through there also. You can also check out my equipment website, which is paraequipment.com. Any type of equipment you're looking to get, you can get right through that website. And that's about it. You can also find me on Facebook just under my name, John Brightman, or New England Paranormal Research.
Do you guys have an agent that you guys go through to book events, or do you just do it yourself?
No, I have Mark Tetwell from Ideal Event Management.
Mm-hmm.
He books 90% of everything for me. If I, like, you know, for instance, if I came across, like, the Chicago event, you know, I might call them and say, hey, I'm interested in coming. Would you be interested in having me? And then I turn around and I'll send them to get a hold of Mark so Mark can do the contracts up and everything for me. But other than that, I go through Mark for everything.
Cool. Agents are the bomb, aren't they?
They are. He's very good at what he does. He's been around for a long time. He deals with all the big conventions, so it's very, very nice to have him.
Cool.
Yeah, well,
thank you very much, guys, for having me on the show. It's been great. I look forward to our next conversation on September 28th.
That is so far from now. You're not going to talk to me until September? Come on now, John. That is harsh.
Well, no, I'm sure I'll talk to you on screen then, but I'm just, I look forward to our in-depth conversation about the afterlife or what could be the afterlife on September
28th. Yes.
Hey,
You're going to have a lot of time to think about that.
John, also, same network, same time, but different show. I do Full Spectrum Radio on Wednesday nights, same time. So anytime you want, you're more than welcome.
I appreciate that, Matt. Thank you very much. And we'll be in touch. Hopefully I might see you out in Chicago.
Yeah, I'll shoot you a message with more info. Plus, I have some questions about your ideas on things. So
I smell a bromance.
A bromance.
So much testosterone in the building.
Before we go, I have one question for you, Brittany. How is our friend, that is Mama to be, Sarah, doing?
What?
How is our friend Sarah, who is a Mama to be, a mommy to be? How is she doing?
What?
What do you mean what?
Yeah.
What?
I'm asking the Brittany. I'm asking the same question. What?
What?
Wait a minute. You didn't know she's a mommy to be?
No.
She posted it on Facebook.
Well, excuse me. I do not go on Facebook that much other than right now. But, oh, what? I didn't. Okay, hold on.
Hold on. I will try and find this. I think it was earlier last week she posted a nice picture on her and saying that they were expecting. Yeah, right here. Looks like... I have a new addition to our family to start thinking of the names, and that's all it said, and everybody's saying congratulations to her.
Oh.
I think I'm going to be Skyping shortly.
This all makes a lot more sense. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, did you continue reading? Did you guys continue reading what she said?
Oh, I didn't see.
You guys are so funny.
I saw this wasn't there. It was only like one or two comments saying congratulations. I see it now.
It's, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You have to realize that women are more specified. When they have a baby, they're like, here's a sonogram. And then there's like a really long paragraph. But it's a snake she's having, and she has a new brand new snake. So let's not start any rumors. It was a snake, a
Sarah
pet.
Sarah LaBrie is not pregnant. I want to throw that out.
That's why I was asking you guys. I figured you guys would know because you guys were really good friends with her.
I think she would have probably mentioned that, you know, made it known, hey, by the way, hey, instead of like, I think she just kind of wanted to play some mind tricks on some Facebookers and kind of be like, you know, it's kind of cutesy. Like, new family member. Just cut in. Got a fish. Like, I got a nice little goldfish. Yes.
Yes. Awesome. It's just so awesome.
Sorry about that, guys.
No. I found that, like, literally hilarious because I honestly was shocked. You just shocked me. I mean, like, how would I not know? No,
well,
I don't.
That's exactly why I asked you guys firsthand because I figured you guys would know.
Speechless. That's what I was. But you know what? It's good to have, like, a heart palpitation every once in a while. It is. It is.
Well, when you talk to her, you have to tell her I said that to you guys and how I freaked you guys out.
I'm just going to send her the show.
I just messaged her. not anything about that. I just messaged her, like, because I messaged her on Skype. Because she's showing on Skype that she's available for chat, but not online, like for talk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I just messaged her, you up?
I got info.
Well, like, yeah.
Are you up? I have something to talk to you about. That might be a cool.
No, I said you up. Info with a question mark.
That was a good one. I have to admit, that was great. I'm glad that I continued reading. Otherwise, I would have probably been pondering my life existence for about 2 hours, and then I'd give it a little break, and then, you know, think about it again.
More.
Yeah.
Like I said, when I first saw it, there was probably, I don't know, I want to say, you know, maybe 5 or 6 messages, and, you know, it was congrats, people saying wah and congrats, and so I was just like, okay, whatever. And then I never went back to it or saw it again, so I just assumed that. But just now when you brought it up, I did scroll down farther and I saw that. So I was kind of surprised too myself.
Yeah, but really, you just scared, you didn't really scare the bejesus out of me, but you did make it very amusing to find out that it was a snake. I mean, you know, being pregnant with a snake, you know. Kind of difficult. So I'm assuming that she, you know, got it from another source. So.
Yes.
Otherwise, damn, girl, she's powerful. I'm going to give birth to a dragon in about T-5 minutes. So I'm going to have to let you guys off the hook because,
I don't want to know.
The storm's a brewing. Anyway, I'm just kidding. That sounds really bad, by the way. I'm trying to be very medieval and, you know, like, scary, womanly, you know, but it's not working. So,
no,
that's unfortunate.
You're sounding more like Jody.
Okay, I haven't discussed burps yet.
That's scary in itself. I love her to death, but when somebody says they're turning into Jody, that's scary.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Jody.
It was a great show. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
We will all be in touch soon, I'm sure.
Yes, and you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you very much. Take care, and Matt, I look forward to talking to you soon.
Yeah, definitely, John. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Have a good, night, John.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was a very interesting conclusion to a very awesome show. So,
yes, it was.
Props. props for that. I'd give you a high five if I could, but I can't. But if I could, I could. I would.
Oh, just like the commercial. High five through the phone. Wait.
Say what?
Did you actually do it? Never mind.
Why do you confuse me? Why?
Because I'm good at that. That's why.
What are you talking about? Jesus.
I said just like the commercial for Discover Card. High five through the phone.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, did you do it? Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah, I did it.
Totally did it.
Wait, no, really? Yeah. It's a chill.
Now we're on board. Now you're with me.
Yes, okay, you had to elaborate a little bit. I literally thought you were talking about, you know, our badass this thing.
Paranormal News, presented by the Unknown Radio Network.
I thought that's what you were referring to.
I have never listened to that before.
Well, there you go. That was only 10 seconds of it. So, for today's news, Brittany went to school and then almost died because I had such a long day. But it was fun, and I'm alive, so there's news. But
Brittany, thank you, dear. It's always a pleasure.
Yes.
I mean, it gets better and better every week. And every single person that we talk to, and that's not just PR. I mean, I literally hang up every show with my show and your show being like, wow, that is just so much more awesome.
Thanks. You know what? I think it is too, but I might be biased. So.
Yeah,
let's,
maybe.
Let's ask someone outside of, like, me and you so, you know, they can properly judge us. So.
I shall develop a poll tomorrow on Facebook, and it'll have the I don't want to compete, but it'll just have the has.
Well,
you know,
if you put it, hey now, if you put it on your Facebook, I think they're gonna pick your show.
Well, no, because I tag you in it, silly.
Silly, fine, okay.
Or. You want me to go dumbass? Does that work better for you?
Yeah, it really does. You know, I might get a better response if you put that. So, it might be referring... Oh, that one! Yeah,
now
I
know.
That dumbass.
Okay, yes. Yeah,
so, yeah,
I like dumbass better.
Mm-hmm. Most people do. So, you know, it's a good way to find out. So,
yeah,
anyway...
Yeah.
We are going to, I don't know if I'm going to be able to join you Wednesday, but I'm going to damn try as hard as I can because my schedule's looking a bit rough this week. And next week, you know what? I was going to say it's spring break, screw it, but we'll see. We'll see. It is spring break, though, and I really need to do my projects. So we will see. It is hard and rough being a college student that's been out for about 3 years, so, and having two jobs, and then of course this radio show, so, but I love doing it so much, which doesn't sound really like I do when I say it like that after I said all those things, but I do, so
let me know if you're busy, you know, it's handled. If you can join us Wednesday, it's definitely going to be very, very interesting.
And you're just going to leave me with that?
Yes, I will. I will leave you with that.
Okay.
Just due to the fact that the reason it's going to be so interesting is because we have somebody who has been on major TV networks that is very jaded by them. And has the inside story.
And who is that?
I can't say right now because it's not locked in.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to... We got to come to some sort of agreement that there's going to be no under bus throwing.
Okay, true. Is it a woman? Is it a man?
It's a combination of both.
Well, that would explain a lot of the controversy that's apparently surrounding this, if they're both one individual that is a mixture of both anatomy.
No, not like that.
Totally joking, by the way. I'm not serious. Totally joking.
Yeah, no. No hermaphrodites. No.
All right.
No.
Well,
not
well,
there's anything wrong with
message
that.
Message me later, and we will see. And if I am available, I will try my damnness. I will try my hardest, basically, to attempt to. You see why I need to go to school now, don't you? I will attempt to join you on Wednesday, if my schedule permits, and it probably will. So we'll see. But if not, I'll see you Monday. And if not, I'll see you Wednesday. So.
Or you may not see me Monday, because you may not be here Monday.
We'll figure it out. It's not like I got a whole bunch of people lined up for me to go, hey, Brittany, where are you? Brittany. Hey, you, shut the fuck up, because I'm kind of busy right now. So I think that's more important. So anyway, it's spring break. This is my only holiday. I'm going to enjoy it. If I don't go to Vegas, I'm going to do something else crazy. But I'm not having my spring break, like, you know, old school spring break. It's either I do what I normally do or I do something that's not in Florida. So we will see.
Or
maybe,
very well.
Maybe just thank screw you. It. We're just going to have a show next week, okay? Fuck it. We're just going to have a show next week, okay? It took me about 10 minutes to decipher whether I was or not, but I'm just pulling your strings. We're going to have it. So I'll see you.
Oh, just keep me posted.
I know. Right now it's very hard for me to think. I've been in school for about 12 hours, and this thinking thing no longer works.
Yeah.
Nope.
So just don't worry about it tonight. We'll figure it out.
Touche. And on that note, we're going to play some metal. We're going to leave the show with some metal. You ready for this shit?
I'm ready for this shit.
All right.
Brittany, thank you, dear.
Thank you.
always my pleasure.
It is always my pleasure. And I want you to have a good night. Don't party too hard. It's a Monday night. Be safe, you know. It's Monday. So, and enjoy the rest of your evening since it's still early for you. Sound good?
You too.
All right. Have a good night, okay?
Good night.
I'm going to rock this shit to the joint curb, whatever. All right. Peace out, bitches.
Rock it.
Peace out.